thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed, again redeemed, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday evening show, End Times, folks, prophetic weekly update. And we go through Dave Hauser and myself. We go through the events and try and really get to the most critical issues during the week heading towards the end time prophetic fulfillment. And then sometimes some other things that are critically important. So with that, let me check to see if Brother Dave is here. And hang on. I got to get over. And Brother Dave is here. Hello, Brother Dave. Shalom.
Shalom and Maranatha, John.
And Maranatha, the Lord is coming.
Amen.
Right? The Lord is coming?
Absolutely. Yes.
Dave, would you please update everybody on your hip, please?
Sure. Everything went well. If you saw the bruise on my hip, you would, think I was in a train wreck. So, it's, you know, kind of painful, but I'm getting better. All right. But one interesting thing during the operation, they put a numbing agent from my hip down to my knee, so that the whole area was numb, but I was kind of awake a little bit, and I could hear them hammering the one piece down into my bone.
Yes.
So it was quite an experience. Now, John, there is good news. I'm calling you from Babylon. I'm not calling you from the new city of Jerusalem. Because that's a long-distance call.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah, so I'm still in Babylon, John, which is good news.
Well, for you, if it's good news, that's good.
yes, it's good news. So everything went well. Everything went well.
What do you think caused that big bruise, Dave, from your hip down to your knee?
Well, like I said, I don't want to go into all the details, but they, you know, they made a big incision, like a 6-inch incision. They had to put a big, spike down into my bone, into the femur, and then, you know, it was just a mess, John.
Okay.
It was so bad that I didn't want to look at the video of how people get it done. In other words, everything worked out good. I was able to, let's put it this way. I can't tell you how many people I got to give my testimony to, like the nurses, the aides, people in an elevator. So it worked out really well. It was worth going.
Worth. Okay. All right. A tough way to be a witness, but yeah. All right.
Yeah, so listen, thank you for your prayers, and I'm still here, so it worked out good.
Okay. Well, Dave, normally we go over to 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Sure.
But I have some other verses about the blessed hope and the Lord's coming for us in the rapture.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I'm going to, it's just a couple, and I want to read these verses for, like, edification. And then we'll get to you in verse 1 Corinthians 15:51. All right.
Sure.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's a nice verse, Dave. To wait for His Amen. Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from. So that's waiting. That's the blessed hope. We're looking for that blessed hope. That's what we're waiting for. Then we come over to Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Yeah, Dave?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, Dave, you know, you're on air, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him, that's the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope, looking for the rapture, shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Without sin, sin has nothing to do with the second coming. And notice, unto salvation. We already have salvation. That salvation is the body. That's what Christ, that's where we are complete in Christ. Body, soul, and spirit. Right now it's soul and spirit. Well, the soul is a process that God is working in us for righteousness and holiness. But unto salvation is Christ coming for our, so that we have our new body that's like His. Okay, Dave, you're up with 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Sure. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen, Dave. That's a nice section of scriptures, and it ends. All this about the Lord coming for us and about the rapture and we're being changed. See, there's the salvation of the body. In fact, Dave, let's back up on this. Behold, verse 51, I show you a mystery. Let me get it over so everybody can see it. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. That changed is our body from being a mortal body. In fact, it's called vile. But it's not the vile. It's sort of a little bit antiquated with the King James. Vile should really be like corruptible. It's able to, we're subject to, well, death. The body's subject to death. It's subject to decay. It's subject to injury, disease. That's what it means by vile. Into a glorious body, incorruptible, because we're going to have one like Jesus Christ's body. So, but it shall be changed. And the moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, that's Christ coming for us. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So there's two things at Christ's coming. There is the resurrection of those that have died in the Lord. They receive their glorified body, and we shall be changed. And then here we go from that, we shall be changed. For this corruptible, our body is corruptible, and I explain that. It's corruptible through aging, disease, injury, death. And I can't think of it. It might be something else in there. That's all I can think of.
Hip right replacement.
Now. Hip replacement. Hip replacement. All right. So this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal, the mortal body, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And then if we look at 1 John 3:2, it says we're going to have a body like his because we shall see him as he is. So when Christ comes for us and we see him in his glory, we're going to have a body just like his. Amazing, folks. I want to encourage everybody about the rapture is not simply Christ coming for us. That's true. The rapture is when he comes for us, our body is instantly. In fact, in Corinthians here, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. The body is sleeping. That's an expression for waiting to be awakened with the new body. The scripture says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that sleep doesn't mean soul sleep. That means our body is waiting for the resurrection. But we should be all changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So today, my expression for the twinkling of an eye is a nanosecond. It takes place in a nanosecond. Exciting. And so when Christ comes, instantly, in a nanosecond, we change from mortal to immortality, from corruptible to incorruption. And then it says, we meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Sounds like a good deal. What do you think, Dave?
Amen, John. Very good deal.
All right. Now here, and I'll end with this, Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So what we are looking for here right now is the rapture. We're looking for Christ coming for us. That trumpet, the last trumpet is blown, and instantly, in a nanosecond, we're in this mortal body, and we're in the immortal body that is just exactly like the body of Jesus Christ for eternity. Okay, Dave, that's really edifying, isn't it? Oh,
absolutely, John.
And 1 John 3:3 says, every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So the idea of the Lord coming for us in the rapture and going to heaven with him should encourage us all. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. To live a godly, righteous life. When we really have the blessed hope in us and we have looking for Christ, we're living for Christ coming, that should have a big impact on the way we think and the way we live. Anything you want to add to that, Dave?
Well, John, we're going to document that that's going to be coming soon. The Lord's coming back soon.
Yes, he is. Amen. Amen. So let us, Dave, we want to talk about economics because that's right in the forefront right now. So we'll spend time there towards the end on economics, but let's bring everybody up to date on what's going on in the Middle East, especially with Israel and Iran and all. But Dave, doesn't it feel like it's like racehorses in the gate waiting for that gate to open to take off? Like we're on a holding pattern now in the Middle East, and there's a little eruptions, which what's going on in Gaza, and a little eruptions there going on in Lebanon, and Israel has bombed some military positions in Syria. But we're waiting for the big event, Dave. Do you get that feeling?
Absolutely, John. And the stage is set. The actors are in place. The curtain's about to rise.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the United States has decided through President Trump that the Houthis are not going to dictate the world shipping and things like that because of what they've been doing with they have easy access with their missiles to the Red Sea, and right below Yemen there at the bottom of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula is the Sea of Aden, A-D-E-N they call it, or the Gulf of Aden, one of the two. And so the shipping coming in there has to narrow and come into this Gulf, the Gulf of Aden, as it's called, and then really narrow to come into the Red Sea. So they're just firing missiles in there and blowing up oil tankers and cargo ships. So I guess it was about a week ago, Dave, now, or maybe a little bit more than a week ago, President Trump said that's the end of that. And the Houthis are going to be continually attacked until they can't do that anymore. So there's been sort of round the clock, but continuing bombing of positions in Yemen, destroying everything in the country. I mean, it's heavy bombing going on. So have you been following that, Dave? Have you picked that up?
Exactly, John. And sad to say, it should have been taken care of a long time ago. It's interesting that the United Nations didn't really form a coalition to have them stop it because it was interrupting global trade. You know, like
but they're Muslims. They're Muslims.
Yeah.
So they can't.
So I guess it's okay.
They can't do that. They're Muslims. I mean, they can.
Yeah, I understand.
The United Nations says nothing when this terrorist group opens fire on ships, you know, oil tankers. And big cargo ships sinking them. They sunk several of these ships, Dave, the big ships. And they prohibited the rest of the trade to come through. What is it, Dave? 10 or 15% of world trade goes through there?
At least 15%. It's quite a bit. And it's interesting that Egypt remained quiet because they received quite a bit of income. You know, people going through the Suez Canal, they charge for it. So, yeah, like you said, they're Muslims, so they didn't say much.
Yeah, that's what it is. They're Muslims, so, and they're doing it because of Israel. They're attacking the shipping because they're doing this in conjunction with Hamas. They're doing this in support of Hamas. So that's why they're doing it. And the UN hates Israel, so. I think they're willing to go along with what the Houthis are doing because it's backing Hamas against Israel. What do you think of that, Dave?
Well, like I said, they're very, very quiet on it. You don't hear anything about the United Nations calling a special security council meeting. And it's causing, you know, disruption in global trade.
Yes. Right. Now, President Trump has acted on this, saying they're going to be destroyed. They're literally going to be destroyed. So that's in action right now. And in fact, there's another aircraft carrier on the way. We're going to have two aircraft carriers there, the Truman and the Vincent. And we have the B I always get them mixed up. B-1 or B-2 bombers there. They're heavy. They're real heavy bombers. They can take, I mean, 40 tons of explosives and missiles and all sorts of stuff. And they're stealth. And we have about, I think, 7 or 8 there. There's an island. Maybe I should show this next week. There's an island, like, kind of due south of Yemen. Called Diego Garcia. It's owned by Great Britain, and it's a military base. So we have these heavy bombers sitting there, and it's an easy run to Yemen or to Iran. They can easily go to Iran and fly back, and they can drop an enormous, enormous payload. And these are the heavy bombers that are needed to take out the Iranian nuclear program, Dave, because there's a mountainous area there in Iran, and they built their nuclear program, like, you know, 500 feet into these mountains, they're deep. They're 500 feet deep into these mountains. So you need these heavy bombers. I've been kind of reading up on it, Dave, how they work. So these bombs now are so precise that they drop them in like unison, one right after the other, so many, like we'll say a minute apart, or 30 seconds apart. So the first one hits and blows down, like we'll say 150 feet, just blows this big crater. Then the second one hits the exact spot that the first one hit. And that blows down like another 100 or how many feet. Then the third one hits that exact spot again. And it goes down, you know, because they know through the spy satellites, they sweep the earth and they can identify these places in Iran. And they can tell, we know exactly how deep it is. And then the last bomb hits, and that's like, to smash through reinforced concrete and steel and all that. And then it blows into a huge explosion right into these, what do you want to call it? I think, these fortified positions underground where they build their nuclear weapons and all. So that's how it works, Dave. It's not like one gigantic bomb. And they can drop as many bombs as they need. If they need to go down 1,000 feet, they can do that. So these Israelis cannot do this. They don't have the heavy bombers that can carry these big bombs to literally blow a hole down into the ground and get right to where it's the bunker is, or the I'm lost for a word. What would we call that? The fortified position underground. So they really can't escape it, Dave. You know? And these are stealth. So what they'll do is the other planes that we have will go in first, and they'll take out all of the Iranian air defenses. And then the B-2s, I'm going to call them B-2s, they are stealth themselves. So any defenses that might be left can't see them. They just can't see them on radar. So that's, Iran knows that's, we can do that, that's coming. Like, so Dave, I just heard or just read, and I don't know if I posted it. I don't think I posted it yet, but Iran is abandoning, the Houthis. And they're pulling the number one to try and placate the United States, because Trump says we're taking the Houthis out and we're coming for you, because they have about a month left in that decision they're going to make whether to stop their nuclear program or not. And they're coming after Iran. So Iran is apparently, Dave, trying to shore up and focus on their defenses from an attack, probably from Israel, and probably combined Israel and the United States. Israel is going to take out the targets right where the Bible calls Elam in Jeremiah 49. In fact, a little later, I think I'll read that. It's a short section of scripture in Isaiah 49 about Elam. Elam in the Bible today is the western portion. Iran is made up of two historical nations. The first is Persia. Modern-day Iran is ancient Persia. But in addition to Persia, modern-day Iran is ancient Elam. And Elam is the area of Iran that is on the west coast there of the Persian Gulf. It's right where the nuclear reactor, the Bashar nuclear reactor, it's right where Iran has its missiles to reach Israel and its drones. It's right where the bulk of the Iranian army is, and they're all underground. All of what I'm telling you is underground. But it doesn't matter because Israel and the United States knows where every underground fortification is. All those troops they have, there's no barracks above ground. It's all those troops they have are like, they're in their own graves when these big bombers come. I mean, and Israel's got the firepower to do that. So there we go, Dave. It's kind of all set. Israel has told Iran many times, and it's told the world, we are not going to allow Iran to have a nuclear bomb and a missile capability to attack us. The United States has basically said the same thing because Iran is a terrorist state and they can't have nuclear weapons. So we seem to be, as you mentioned, Dave, you said this for years about the problem with Iran has been like kicking the can down the block. Well, we're at the end of the block now, Dave. So here we are. Yeah, Dave, any comments on what I've been sharing?
Yeah, John, I don't know if it's going to be on a Monday morning, but we'll probably wake up one Monday morning and Israel and the United States will take action. Like you mentioned that the U.S. is sending another aircraft battle group, you know, to the area. They have all the military capabilities to take it out. Like you mentioned, these large 30,000-pound bombs that can take out these underground facilities. And, you know, the Russians now are warning the United States not to do it because they said it would be catastrophic. So it's on the calendar, John. We don't know exactly when, but it should have been done a long, long time ago. We talk about it all the time. Why are you even waiting to the last minute? You know, supposedly the United Nations, agency that inspects these nuclear facilities, they've been saying for a long time that Iran is on track to have enough uranium, enriched uranium, to make a nuclear bomb. And it's, you know, global news that they were in bed with the North Koreans. A while back, there was reports that Iranian scientists visited sites in North Korea, nuclear sites, watched maybe some nuclear tests. It should have been done a long time ago. I don't know what they're waiting for. But the Lord's going to have mercy. They're going to be taken out, John, big time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in addition to everything we're saying, Dave and myself are saying, Dave, did you read or hear where Iran threatened to attack Diego Garcia, the military base there?
Yeah, they're threatening to take out the B-2 bombers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're threatening to take that would be absolutely catastrophic for Iran to do, to attack. I mean, even if none of their missiles got through, the idea that they tried it would be catastrophic for them. So I have no doubt, I really have no doubt that if Iran can do it, they will launch everything they have at if they can identify our aircraft carriers, the Russians will tell them that. And they know what Diego Garcia is. And then the Houthis they'll probably coordinate it together. The Houthis will fire whatever they have left at or ships in the area. So it'll, and then they'll fire what they can at Israel. They'd have to spread it around, but I have no doubt, Dave, if they can do it, if our first wave of attacks doesn't completely cripple their missile program, they will fire everything they have, hoping that some of it gets through. What do you think about that, Dave?
Well, yeah, we have to wait and see. One way or the other, it's gonna, something's gonna happen relatively soon.
Okay, and I'm watching the clock, so we got enough time there to talk about the economy. I have this lead article right now on my blog about Israel, and it's Israel War. Excuse me. That's the name of the blog. Now, the title of it is, and in that blog, it's sort of more inclusive. Anything about the Middle East and Islam that I post there. Also, anything that in the United States, like dealing with Muslims, anything that deal with Muslims and Israel and the Jews, I post there. So, Dave, I read this article kind of just before the show, not too long before the show. It said, inside Trump's jihadist elimination unit at the White House. And I have a paragraph here. It's a little long. I'd like to read it, but I'm not. And the lead-off paragraph is about what Joe Biden's administration did to shut down American intelligence about jihadists, including in the United States. He was preparing the nation or setting it up so like terrorist groups could attack us. And so this is what this article is talking about. And since Trump has been in office on January 21st, they've got free hand now to get all these jihadists all over the world, not only the United States, but all over the world. But it's quite and that attacking the Houthis is all a part of this. Trump attacking, the United States attacking the Houthis comes from Trump going after jihadists, no matter where they are here in the United States. So I expect there could be numbers of arrests made of jihadists here in America. We already see it about these college students that support Hamas and all. They're being deported. Oh, he's deported hundreds already, Dave. Did you know that? It's been
They're doing
quiet.
A good job, John.
But
if you come
quiet.
Into the United States and you're praising Hamas and you want to destroy Israel and commit genocide, the time for you to leave is now.
Right. So they've already sent, I think, 300 or more students home. They've identified them, and it's very quiet. It's very quiet. The immigration there gets a hold of them, and they're gone. They're put on a plane, and they're sent right back to Saudi Arabia or wherever it is. But this article, it's long. It's a long, long article, but I highly recommend it, folks. It was incredible. I didn't even finish it, but it's incredible how it's a 180-degree turn. Trump doesn't care who they are or what country they're from. If they're a jihadist, and Dave, did you see in Somalia that ISIS had this bunker there, this little enclave where they were building jihadist terrorists and it was bombed? Did you see that?
I heard they attacked it, but I didn't have any details.
The detail is our intelligence have been following it for a year and a half. And Joe Biden personally, or whoever was, whoever the real power was, refused to allow us to do anything about it. So Trump was brought to his attention, and he said, take it out. I mean, immediately when it was brought to his attention, he said, take it out. It took them 30 days to line things up, but they took it out with those big, heavy bombs, Dave. You know, like the B-2s flew over and completely, I mean, it's like gone off the face of the earth. This whole jihadist camp, compound, the huge part of it was under the ground. And they came in with those big bombs and it's like gone. It's like completely gone. Now, that is a result of Trump being the president and taking over from Joe Biden. So we are really, with Trump, really aggressive. Wherever the jihadists are, they're going to be taken out. So I would expect maybe quietly we might know, but some of it I'm sure we will know. Jihadist cells here in America, they have to be here, Dave. They just have to be. Under Joe Biden in particular, they have to be here, that they'll be taken out. They'll be taken out, Dave, here in America.
Right.
Okay. So these are, and I have a whole, Dave, anything else that you want to add?
No, that was good, John.
I have a whole load of articles here about they're building a Islamic mega city near Dallas. And Texas is trying to bring it under control because it's they want to make it Sharia law. And there can be no law in the United States except, the American law. So the governor here is really active. They're building it without any permits or licenses or anything. They're just doing it on their own. In Europe, Europeans are rising up against Islam. There's been protests. Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
Dave, this background noise, Dave.
Okay.
There has been protests all over Europe. And the word is that, there is a confrontation coming now. Okay. It's like here between, Islam and, whatever you want to call Europe, they're saying Christian here, but Europe doesn't really resemble too much Christian anymore. But it's really getting close now because the Muslims feel power. Every major city, from what I understand, every major city in Europe, in Great Britain, has Muslim mayors. Every one of them. And they're like, so they're taking over Europe, and the left in Europe is going along with it. The left and the Muslims want to take down Europe. The left is using the Muslims as a wedge, as force to destroy Europe as we know it. These are evil, evil, evil people. So Dave, let's go over and get into the economics now. We have about 20 minutes left, but it's huge, Dave. It's huge with the tariff situation, the stock market, the ramifications of the tariffs in the stock market. And Dave, there's some countries that might literally collapse over this. And I'm looking at Canada as one. This is frightening with Canada. In fact, I think it's so bad with Canada, Dave, that Trump did not apply these tariffs to Canada. Did you notice that? Canada was exempt?
Well, it's very complicated, John, very complicated.
Okay, well, make it simple for us.
Okay. President Trump and the current administration analyzed the fact that countries all over the world were treating us unfairly when it came to reciprocal trade. So they decided to come up with a plan and institute basically a global situation.
Dave, let me stop you for a second, Dave.
Sure.
Yeah, it's beyond unfair. The magnitude of the transfer of wealth from the United States to these countries, what they're doing with our industries because of these tariff situations. I mean, it's huge. This isn't they're simply unfair. That's part of it, but they're destroying our industries with the tariffs that they have. So their goods can flow cheaply into America and like destroy our industries. And we, there's nothing going the other way from us to them. That's really what the issue is. And it's brought this to a head. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, sure. Well, before we take a look at it, biblically, we understand that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are about to ride. The third horseman, the black horse, basically talks about a day's wages for a cup of wheat. And then in Revelation chapter 13, we know the Antichrist is going to have a global monetary system. You won't be able to buy or sell. So for more information on that, you go to mctbrochures.com and you look at John's 666 track. You can go to your printer, print it up, and give it to your friends. They'll understand what's coming. So that we know is coming. Now, in order for that to happen, there's going to be a global economic collapse. Now, there's a possibility that what's happening with this could trigger a global economic collapse. Now, what happens is there's 180 countries that are involved in the tariffs. 60 of them were identified that had tariffs on the United States that were deemed to be unreasonable. But there was 120 countries that had no tariffs involved that the United States is putting a 10% tariff on. Now, the problem is some countries are starting to retaliate. China immediately retaliated with a 34% tariff on goods going into China. Now, not only that, but they are restricting rare earth minerals that our industries need to make all sorts of technologically sophisticated, MRI machines, et cetera, et cetera. And then the other thing they did is they pinpointed quite a few companies that they're not allowing them to ship certain agricultural and, certain chicken meats and all sorts of stuff. So China's definitely escalating. Before the show, I looked at Europe, and they're looking to escalate, but possibly in a different way. They're going to be possibly restricting our tech companies, Google, Facebook, Meta, et cetera, which earn billions of dollars in Europe. Now, when this whole thing happened, President Trump did a presentation at the White House. The next day, I think that was Wednesday, the next day, Thursday, and then Friday, we had an unprecedented, pretty much, stock market collapse. Now, I looked at the Dow Jones futures before the show, and things are not going well. There's some main economists that are talking about there's a possibility we could have a historic parallel between the 1929 crash, where there were a few days that were bad, and then you'd have Black Monday. But also, they connected the Smoot-Hawley tariffs. So they look basically at the entire situation that we could be heading for a global economic problem. Now, with the stock market, there's a lot of companies that are getting margin calls because they put up a little bit of money to buy a whole bunch of stocks, and now the stocks are going down. It's very complicated. It's all over the internet. It's going to be on the news tomorrow. But what happens is, before all this happened with the Biden administration, there was, of the conservatives, say there was a 10% inflation. So the typical family in the United States, for argument, had a 10% disposable income. And now if you have 10% inflation, now the typical family has no disposable income. So credit card debt is going through the roof. Car payments, defaults on car payments are going through the roof. Now what happens is, two specific examples. Walmart buys 70% of their materials and merchandise from China. There was originally a 20% tariff and now a 34% tariff. So if things go up 54%, prices in Walmart are going to go through the roof, which is very, very bad. Then there was a little hotel 150 miles off the border of Canada in northern New York, where 90% of their people coming in, their tourists booking rooms, were from Canada. 90% bailed out. They're about to go out of business. The auto industry, 25% tariffs. I have a 2005 Toyota. 2005, it's 20 years old. I can't afford to buy a new car. If it goes up 25%, it makes it even more ridiculous. I can't buy a new car. So to make a long story short, there's so much going on, and it doesn't look like it's going away. And if it doesn't, and I'll give you one more example. Madagascar ships vanilla that people use for baking, okay, to the United States. The United States put a tariff on Madagascar, but Madagascar doesn't have any tariffs on the United States. So when you go on the internet, they show you the equation that they used to determine which countries get the highest tariffs. And they analyzed it, and basically it has nothing to do with what the tariffs these countries are putting on the United States. It has to do with an imbalance of trade, where the United States is exporting stuff to these countries, and then these other countries are sending stuff to the United States. And if there's an imbalance, they do a mathematical equation, they cut it in half, and that's how they come up with the tariff. So it's a very, very unusual, John, very complicated, very unusual, but it's creating chaos in global stock markets. And I want to give everybody some homework. We talked about it last week. My brother William and I wrote The Last Trumpet 45 years ago. And on the front page, we have World Faces Economic Collapse, see page 2. So you can go to mctbrochures.com, go all the way to the bottom, you'll see Russia invades Mideast. World Faces Economic Collapse, go to page 2, the bottom right-hand corner. You'll notice we talk about a global trade war, outrageous interest rates. We talked about last week, Turkey, their interest rates are over 40%, and big, big problems, the economy grinding to a halt. And then we have two countries that we identified that are going to collapse, Japan and Britain. You go to the U.S. debt clock, then find the world debt clock and look at their ratio of debt to gross domestic product. And Britain and Japan, each one is close to 300%. Everybody's worried about us. We're about 100%. So they're three times, deeper than we are with either public debt or external debt. Each one is a little bit different. So, John, very complicated. I've been following it all day. And by the time the show was over, some more stuff's going to happen. Like I said, Europe is looking to retaliate. Canada, I just watched a video before. One of the guys in Ontario, the United States does like $30 billion worth of business in Canada with the local governments. It just got deleted. And the government just ripped up their contract with Starlink, which, Elon Musk owns. So every 2 minutes, something is changing, but it's not changing for the better, John. It's spinning out of control. So that's the story, John. It gives me a headache.
Well, Dave, I found something that I think you'll find interesting on why the United States is doing what it's doing. It's more than they have tariffs and we don't,
right.
Things like that. Let me find this article here. I want to save that. So let me, is this it? No. Hang on here, Dave. Is this it? No, it's not. Now, what it is, Dave, it's more, here it is, I'll get it. I just found it. It's more complicated than that. The problem is, yeah, here it is right here. All right. The problem is these countries, it's way more than tariffs. Japan is doing it. China, it's currency manipulation and subsidizing industries and all.
Right.
So
sure.
Here it is. This is the issues that the United States is dealing with in the world and the world economic system. It's the VAT taxes, value added taxes. It's the currency manipulation, the dumping of export subsidies, the fake standards that keep our agricultural products out and keep our cars out of Japan. It's all these things that the foreign countries do that are designed explicitly to cheat us and are sanctioned by the World Trade Organization. So President Trump says no more. Ain't happening on his watch. And that's where we're heading. That's where we're headed. We're heading towards a strong America that makes things again. The problem, my problem, Dave, is what's happening. I agree with President Trump 100%. To me, though, it's like too much at once. That's my only question on this. Could he have said, all right, we're starting right now with a five, just I'm making this up out of my head just to show what could be done. All right, we're going to put instead of a, 30% tariff, we're going to put a 5% tariff here, doing this and that. And then 6 months later, if things aren't corrected by Japan, And even Israel, got it, Dave. Israel got, what, a 15%, I think, tariff? And that's bringing Netanyahu tomorrow. He's coming tomorrow.
Very sad what happened with Israel. John, very sad what happened with Israel. As soon as Israel heard about this, they immediately eliminated their tariff. But the United States immediately put a 17% tariff on them after they eliminated the tariff. So somebody's not paying attention. They're wackadoos.
Well,
you can research it. What
ultimately,
happened?
Ultimately, it's Trump. So just calm down, Dave. Netanyahu is going to be here tomorrow.
I feel bad about Israel.
They didn't feel too much problems having this 17% tariff coming in their country and none coming the other way. On us.
But they eliminated it immediately.
Okay. Netanyahu explicitly is coming to the United States tomorrow to talk to Trump about the tariff. So let's see what happens. I would expect.
I'm sure they'll work it out.
Yes. I'd be shocked if Trump didn't do something. I don't know, cancel it out or whatever. But Israel was one of those nations where we didn't have a tariff against Israel, but they had it against us.
Right, sure.
So my thought on this, it should have been gradual so countries could think this over, at least absorb the 5%, and then 6 months later to renew it and to see if changes have been made. And then, okay, there's no change on this country here. Okay, it goes to 10%. You get another 6 months. And tell that country our tariff on you is going to be 30% if you don't make adjustments. That's what I think should have been done, Dave. That would make me feel better. This is scary. This is really scary, folks. When you start talking about literally the world economy affected now, this is... But here's the problem, folks. Here's the problem. The way I felt it, our country was out of time by what the world was doing to us, like Canada, for example. From what I understand, Dave, when you add it all up, we went from kind of a low deficit with Canada. I don't know how many years back, but it was low. last year was $260 billion with Canada. We're in a deficit with them. And the same thing with Mexico. Mexico is huge. And what Mexico was doing, they're getting around our imports or our tariff with China, because China is sending their products to be assembled in Mexico and sold here. That's how China was getting around that tariff. And the Mexican government was going along with it. And our it's incredible. We went from hardly no deficit with Mexico to some huge, it was over $100 billion. Plus, the Mexicans working here in America are sending $65, $70 billion a year back to Mexico. And it's coming through bank transfers, coming through Western Union and all. So it's huge. They're draining the wealth out of us, causing us to suppress wages. It's causing us to go into a tremendous debt. And that's only those two countries. So we can't exist as a nation with debt like that. It went from a manageable debt. And Joe Biden, Dave, that's part of destroying America. That deficit set up through Joe Biden and all the illegal aliens coming here, and how much the legal aliens went on welfare, they went on Social Security, they were getting free medical, the cost for many schools now were going skyrocketing because of all these illegal alien kids coming. It's a bunch of things, folks, all at once. The New World Order, the World Economic Forum, whatever you want to call them, they were using Joe Biden. We were finished with Kamala Harris. We would have never made it to the end of her term, 4 years, because we would collapse economically. We literally were very close to being collapsed. So Trump is going like putting brakes on it all at once. And there's more coming. Like Dave, there's talk about him. As the president, he can stop all wire transfers to Mexico over a certain amount. Like he can stop Western Union. So in one day, the Mexican economy would have a $70 billion hole in it, and then put up huge tariffs. And it's cheaper then to make the products in America than to pay the tariff of Mexico. But then what's going to happen to Mexico, Dave? They built their economy on the debt they're causing in America. The Canadians are doing the same thing. What if Canada loses $260 billion in one day from America? What happens to the Canadian economy, Dave?
Collapses, exactly.
Right. You know, and that's just two countries. I don't know. Japan probably can't exist without selling us their cars with like no tariff on them. So Trump puts a 25% tariff on the Japanese cars and the European cars and all. They're all making it off us, and we're creating huge amounts of debt that is unsustainable, folks. Unsustainable. What they're doing at Social Security, what Biden has done with Social Security, is unsustainable. Dave, California, supporting the illegal aliens, $9 billion, Dave. The state, $9 billion in the hole for like Medicaid or Medicare, for all the money that they're giving to them. They're talking about raising the taxes on the citizens of California, $9 billion to pay for what they've done for the illegal aliens. California's wide open. Come on. So who pays for it? The rich pay some, the middle class, Dave. So they want to tax the middle class more. More taxes on gasoline, more taxes on this, more taxes on that, draining our well, all planned. Every bit of it, folks, has been planned. And here's the thing, Dave. Who is the source of this planning. You know what I mean? It's in coordination with, like, is it the World Economic Forum? But there's something beyond them. Is it the World Banks? Yeah, they're probably involved in it. There's some higher source than we see, Dave, that is coordinating this with Europe and coordinating it with the United Nations, coordinating it with, like, Obama and, well, I'm going to say Biden because he was president. Biden, you know, coordinating it with China. And folks, we are the main target to be taken out. And Trump is the last stand. We were finished, except the Lord had mercy on us. So, Dave, here we are. Here we are. You know, I can criticize Trump for, you know, just throwing the whole economic, you know, throwing it into the freezing water. But, you know, can we survive it? We couldn't survive it the way it was going. We couldn't. We were on the last throes economically, folks. It was really dangerous here. So Trump is, this is like a last resort to turn it around. Yeah, Dave, add to what I was saying.
Well, John, yeah, no problem. We know one of the big pieces of the puzzle is that we're going to have a global economic collapse. And there's a distinct possibility that what is happening globally now with the tariffs is going to cause a global economic collapse, setting the stage for the last 7 years. So we're going to have to wait and see. But like I said, it's affecting the planet globally. It's not just, you mentioned Japan, okay? They're shipping cars over here. If they're 25% more, they're going to be, read the last trumpet, unemployed Japanese workers riot in Tokyo. We talked about it 45 years ago. So we'll have to wait and see, John. But like I said, we'll see how things go with the stock market, you follow what I'm saying? And they're already laying people off in the United States, in the auto industry, in Canada. Thousands of people are already getting laid off. In Europe, Jaguar and Land Rover are stopping shipments to the United States. That's going to be good for business. If you get the point, it's a ripple effect through the entire planet. And I understand President Trump is trying to do something, but just one silly little example. Their tariffs, there's 60 countries that are having problems, but there's 100 countries that are not. So why are we putting 10% tariffs on 100 countries that we're not having problems with? So to me,
I told you, Dave, I read it to you. It's beyond tariffs, Dave. It's them subsidizing the cars, like,
right.
And that makes them cheaper, and then they can't American cars can't compete with it. It's more than that. It's right. A whole structure of the world against the power economy of the United States, draining the wealth out of the country. And shutting down entire industries being transferred to this country and that country and all. We are being neutered. That's what's doing this.
I understand. You know? So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But like I said, my thought is very simple. It's going to cause a global economic collapse. The motives are good, but the result's going to be a disaster.
Right, Dave. That
It takes years to build plants in the United States. So we don't have years, John. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
And like I said, look at what happened to Madagascar, okay? There was no trade imbalance at all. No VAT taxes, no nothing. And they put like a 30% tariff on Madagascar when they're shipping vanilla to us. And, you know, they're making fun of it on TV. There's one island off Australia. They put tariffs on an island where there were penguins. So somebody doesn't know what they're doing, John. Oh. You know what I'm saying? It's sad. They should have thought it through better, you know?
Dave, that's not consequential, yeah, sure. Dave. What's consequential is what Japan, with hundreds of billions of dollars, have done. It's what the Europeans, with hundreds of billions of dollars. And I can't necessarily blame Japan or the Europeans. Mm-hmm. It's these politicians here in America, the Republicans and the Democrats.
Sure.
They allowed it to happen because some way, some shape or form, they're getting bribes, kickbacks. They're making a lot of money from doing this. They've worked, the Japanese will work out, the Chinese will work out where they're going to, some system is set up where they can wash this money back into the hands of the politicians. That's the only reason. Why else would they do this, Dave? Why would these politicians sell us out? Why?
Right.
You know? So this Madagascar thing is immaterial. It's what Japan has been doing, what China has been doing, what Europe has been doing, and whatever other Canada has been doing, what Mexico, it's all adding up to like hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars a year being drained out of America. Right. And what they're doing is these jobs are flowing. Dave, in Pennsylvania, there when I lived in central Pennsylvania, that used to be a hub of the garment industry. They were old looking and everything, but Lewistown, that's the one town in particular. They used to make, you know, shirts and people was big employment in that area. It's all gone. It's all gone because of these economic, the way they've done the economics, and it was sent to like Vietnam and Thailand. So factories closed down all throughout Pennsylvania. And these towns are now like, they're kind of like run down, Dave. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people left because you could work in these factories. Families worked there for like generations. It wiped out the whole garment industry by our policies, by the policies of Washington, destroyed industries overnight. And you know what these politicians said? Well, the people will get retrained and they'll get other jobs. That's what they said when they started to do this. So yeah, we were sold out. So it's like, either way, if we don't do anything, you know, what do we have left? 2-3 years, maybe 4 years, the way this stuff is, the way it's accelerating the debt drain on us. How long do we have? So Trump is in there. Yeah, okay, maybe some stupid things done were against Madagascar, but that's dumb. What about the real things that Europe has been doing to us and Japan? And Japan's our ally, right? Don't we defend Japan? Isn't our fleet there to protect them from the Chinese and all?
Right,
And they're screwing us in economics. So we're spending all this money to defend Japan, and at the same time we have this flow of money out of America to Japan because of the way they've structured tariffs and their whole economy. The Chinese, the same thing. Europe, we're defending Europe. We spent how much money to protect Germany and France and Britain from the Russians, and then they have structured a whole economic system against us. And they're living like in luxury, we'll say, and the money is flowing from us to them. So yeah, it's come to a head, Dave. It's like the can had been kicked down the street against Iran, and now's the time. There's no more kicking it. The economy has been hemorrhaging from America. You know, you talked about the Americans going in debt. Yeah, that's how we're in debt, credit card debt and all of that, because of our economy is being washed away to these countries. Yeah, right. That's why. It's been kicked down the street, and here it is.
Right. You gave very good advice in the beginning. Number one, this should have been worked on long, long time ago.
No, the Republicans are just as bad, Dave. Rhino Republicans sold us out as much as the Democrats.
Right. So you gave good advice earlier. Number one, this should have been done a long time ago, and you mentioned it should have been done gradually.
Yes, incrementally.
You mentioned 5%. 5%. Do it gradually. Okay. Like I said, I just analyzed the plan. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. We'll have to wait and see. But the global economic ramifications, it doesn't look like it's going to be good.
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see.
Right. Exactly.
We'll have to wait and see.
What can I say? We've reached critical mass here. We reached it in America. You know, we're about to head into, I mean, you can only, a nation like America can only absorb so much debt, Dave. You can only absorb so much. The payment for or the deficit, it's almost as much as the defense budget now, Dave.
It's horrendous, almost, John.
It's
we're borrowing $1 million every 30 seconds.
Whatever it is. So, yep. Folks, what it is we've been kind of living in America in somewhat of an illusion. And as long as we could absorb the debt, you couldn't see it. But we've got to the point where we can't absorb the debt anymore. And it's whole we have no industries are being – Dave, they took Detroit and shipped it basically into Mexico. So – and then they brought the cars back into America. So they undermined the American workers in Detroit, you know, the car industry, and they sent it to people that would work in Mexico for almost nothing. And then they sent the cars back to America and made huge amounts of money on it. So here we are. Dave, you're running a little late, but it's really important. I've got the last trumpet up for everybody
see.
And you were detailing on page such and such is this, you know, how it was coinciding with today. So I'm on page two. Would you?
Sure. Well, on the front cover, you'll see World Faces Economic Collapse, see page two. On the bottom right-hand corner, you can read the article, and you'll notice there's a problem with the banks, problem with the Dow Jones Industrial, a global trade war, interest rates going up. And then in the other article, we talk about, you know, on the left-hand side, we talk about the economy grinding to a halt. So basically it's a dramatization, and there's about five or six things that are happening right now in the news that are in the article, but we wrote the article 45 years ago, and it seems to be happening in sequence, John. So, we'll have to wait and see.
Dave, what's really interesting here, Europeans unite and elect first president. That's Europeans uniting. It's happening right in front of our eyes.
Right, right.
Trump says, yep. I'm not going along with you. We don't want to get involved in another world war with Europe. I mean, it's insane for us to get to support Ukraine like that without – we just can't do it. I mean, that's how World War I started with the Europeans in East Europe, World War II in East Europe, now World War III. And so they're actually pushing it, Dave. They're insane. The French and the Brits and the Germans are insane. They're doing everything they can to get in a war with Russia. And Trump says, no, we're not going to do it. So what do they do now? We're their enemy, and they're looking to create a European army.
Right, sure.
And you've got that right here on the last trumpet. Europeans unite and elect the first president. Yeah, well, that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have a united Europe because we won't back them to war with Russia. They want their own army now. So I'm reading this article, Dave, and it says Germany. Germany is going to send a brigade of troops, 5,000 troops, to Estonia, because Estonia is on the border with Russia. And I'm reading this from what the German government is saying. And we're going to defend Estonia from any Russian aggression and all this and that. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I get down
Trouble
to the
ahead.
End. I get down to the end of the article. I mean, about Germany. You know, we're gonna save Estonia from the Russians. Do you know when they said we'll be ready to send the troops in 2027, Dave? They can't do it. They don't have an army. They rely on us.
Right. Sure.
They rely on us. So they have like this minuscule military budget. Minuscule. And they're relying on the United States to defend them against Russia. The United States won't get behind them anymore. They don't have the army, Dave. They can't defend themselves against Russia. They can't. The Brits, they can't. They don't have military budgets. They had these low budgets because they were expecting America to have this big, huge military to protect them from the Russians. So it shows you how imbalanced this was. And the Republicans allowed it. The Democrats allowed it. You know, Bush's allowed it. Obama, Clinton's, they all allowed it. So here we are right now. So Trump says no more, no more. And we're not going to get in a European World War III. You're on your own with that. So they all of a sudden they hate America now. They hate Trump and he's evil and all. It's wow, Dave. This is when you see this unfolding, it is incredible. So what you were talking about the tribulation period and the world economic meltdown and all. Yeah, you could see how all the pieces, Dave, are in motion now. They're all in motion.
Exactly. All right, John, let me give you a little update.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. Go ahead, give the update.
Yeah, sure. What do you call it? This week, obviously, I've been out of commission. Lord willing, by next week, I should be able to go, start mailing to Africa, et cetera, et cetera. But as usual, we have zero funds for shipping. So if anybody could help us, would be greatly appreciated. So that's the story. So we want to thank everybody for listening. Is Brother Greg there?
Yeah, Brother Greg is here. Dave, I know you got you a little late here, but what's happening, I just wanted to share with you. Well, I could share it privately,
sure.
But I got you here. Today I preached in Abba Father's International Fellowship, Makuru Kayaba. So,
oh, nice.
I preached early in the morning, time-wise here. It's early in the morning. For
Kenya.
Me. Yeah, Kenya. So in talking with Pastor Zephaniah and all, I'm now going to be officially the elder pastor at the Makuru Kayaba.
Oh, very good.
So I'm a pastor out there. The problem is I don't speak Swahili, and
that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not there to manage. But the people really made a demand that they want to hear me teach them and preach. So yeah, I'm going to be doing it every Sunday. I have to do it
very
early.
Good.
Early in the, isn't that exciting?
Very exciting.
So it's like we can see this because the Lord gave me a vision about Makuru Kayaba, the largest slum in Africa.
Right.
So we're there. He gave me the vision. At that point, there was no idea of me preaching and be there every Sunday and maybe Fridays too and things like that. So it's in play now. But it's like we have the opportunity to reach deep into this slum with million and a quarter people, Dave. And they're right there. And the Muslims are already in that coming in great numbers to the Lord from that slum in there. So this is really exciting.
All right. Sounds good. John, one other important thought. It's unusual that they would call you the elder pastor. You don't look one day over 75.
Well, Dave, I am a little over 75. I'll be 70.
Right. So I guess that's why they call you the elder pastor.
Elder in wisdom and knowledge, Dave. That's what it meant.
That's what it is. Okay. It's symbolic.
Hey, that's funny. Okay.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you guys during the
week.
God bless, guys.
Now, wait, Dave.
All right?
No, you forgot again. You forgot again.
Email daystarwindows, DAYSTAR, daystarwindows, WINDOWS, @ optimum.net. So okay. daystarwindows1 @ optimum.net.
I have it up on the MCP brochures page. So,
all right, great. Yeah, we just printed 5,000 of the Russia Invades Mideast, and we do have it also in Spanish. All right, John?
Right.
And, John, I'm basically out of track, so if you have anything, we could use
Here's what happened, Dave. Oh, hold on, Dave. Here's what happened. Orders have come in for the brokenhearted, and I'm right down to almost none left. So okay. The church I go to, actually it's two churches now. I preach on Saturday at My Shalom, and then Wednesday night, it's the same building, My Shalom and Word of Life come together. This morning, Saturday, I received a nice offering for the brochures.
Oh, good. I need 666.
No. I can only print the brokenhearted because.
Okay, because those the 666, I still have some, but no 666.
666. No, I consent to you. No Jerusalem. I'm down to less than 100, but I'm going to put in a large order for the brokenhearted because that one.
Okay, sounds
that
good.
One moves. So I'll probably in about 2 weeks I'll have plenty of brokenhearted to send you.
And hopefully some 666.
Yes, I have. I can send the 666 now.
Yeah, send them out right away. I still have a few brokenhearted left.
Okay.
All right, sounds good, John. All right, I'll talk to you guys during the week. Right.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye. Bye. All right, that was really good interaction, folks, and you can clearly see the setup to destroy us. This is America. This is a long term. Program, folks. And I have no problem saying that the Rhino Republicans will say the Rhino Republicans were going along like McConnell. This is a good example. He's the biggest example of it that I'm aware of. His wife is Chinese. She's born in China. No problem with that. But her father is the biggest shipping or one of the biggest shipping magnates in China. Now, nothing happens in China without the Communist Party. So there's no free, everything is controlled one way or another about by the Communist Party in China. So lo and behold, the Congress passed legislation. And this was years back, that the way the legislation was written greatly helped McConnell's wife's father in China. He made a fortune off the change in the American law, economics there. And his father or her father there loved his daughter so much, he gave her a $30 million gift. And her husband happened to be the head of the Senate pro temp, I think his title is, just happened to be. And legislation just happened to be written that helped his wife's father immensely to make a lot of money. And just out of the generosity of his heart, he gave his daughter a $30 million gift. See, it's corrupt, folks. It's corrupt. The guy, the pro temp there ahead of the Republican Senate is taking bribes from China through his daughter. And I'm on a little bit of I'm all worked up over where we are economically and all what's happening. I mean, so I'm a little bit blowing steam off, but we'll take the Supreme Court Justice, the female that Trump appointed, Barrett, Amy something Barrett. She's 40 young. She's 42, 43, something like that, in her early 40s. And she sold out in the 2020 election. She was one of them. Her and Roberts sold out Trump. With the election, like the state of Pennsylvania was, and the state of Texas, they were appealing to the Supreme Court about what happened because they had all this absentee ballots and all, which is against state laws. And the Supreme Court, with Barrett and Roberts together, blocked Pennsylvania and Texas, which could have greatly turned, especially Pennsylvania, not necessarily Texas, could have turned the election for Trump. They blocked it. And some other things they blocked. No, there was no excuse for doing. They said Pennsylvania had no standing. They had no standing, I think, is what they said. So that was in November. In January, he got a $3 million advanced bonus for a book they wanted to write about. Now, who was going to read about Barrett? She's got no experience. They gave her $3 million. Right now, that was 2020. This is 5 years later. No sign of a book for me. No, I don't see the book being printed, folks. She got $3 million. That's a bribe. They got the money to her through a book deal. And then the other guy that ran the Justice Department, his name was Barr. Barr. He sold out Trump and all that. Sold him out, right? Sold him out. He got a $6 million in January, both of them. Barrett got $3 million in January for a book deal. Barr got a $6 million book deal. Maybe the book has come out about Barr. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. And I don't think it's going to be a bestseller, folks. Who cares about Barr? So there's how they got the bribes to them, to control them. She got $3 million. He got $6 million. A book deal. Who was going to question that? It's obvious what happened. And so the whole thing took place in November. And lo and behold, what is it, November to December? We'll say 3 months later. He gets $3 million and Barr gets $6 million. That's just the tip of the eye. That's the stuff, that's low fruit that you can pick right off and see it. McConnell gets $30 million through his wife because his wife's father is a shipping magnate in China. And they got special legislation that greatly helped them, billions of dollars they got, and lo and behold, the father was so loves his daughter so much, he gave her $30 million gift, and her husband is the senator from Kentucky that assured that this legislation would pass and go through. Corrupt folks sold us out every which way you looked at it. They sold us out. That's why they hate Trump so much. Not only the Democrats, but these rhinos in there, they hate him. He is turning their bribery machine and their blackmailing machine and their exhorting machine and whatever else they have. He's putting the brakes on it. They can't have that. I mean, Washington, without getting millions of dollars in bribes and kickbacks from foreign countries to sell us out? No, they can't have that. So now, with that little rant of mine, let's go and see if I know Brother Greg is here. He is. Hello, Brother Greg. Okay, Greg, you might have to call back in. All right. Let's get going on up to date on everything else. Now, there is a... I posted about what's going on with the Trump administration removing the colleges, being forced to stop their students from promoting Hamas, and subsidizing groups, terrorist groups, and also allowing Jews to be attacked either verbally and physically. So Trump's taking this one. It's not limited to Ivy League schools, but it's mostly the Ivy League schools. So one by one, they're starting to capitulate and go along with the federal government. Basically, I had no idea of this. Billions of dollars from the federal government go into, maybe you could call it subsidies, into these schools, the Ivy League schools, and like Colombia was like 2 billion, and Trump administration said they were going to hold back 400 million, and all of a sudden Colombia came in compliance. But billions of dollars, studies and maybe research and grants and all of this. So the pain, financial pain, is being applied to these universities, and grudgingly, they are cooperating now. They're going to cooperate. But the last I heard, and that was during the week, so I'm sure it's more now, the immigration has removed 300 students. They've identified as Hamas supporters. They've been already taken from America. Because they are here as visitors, they're going to school. They have no rights. They really have nothing other than they are identified as supporting Hamas. Immigration shows up, and the next plane to whatever country, they're gone. That's the way it works. So, I mean, I'm happy about that. They're going to go and clean out the universities of these being a hotbed of promoting terrorism. Wonderful, folks. Wonderful. The sad part about this is they're only doing it because they're going to lose like $400 million or $1 billion or $100 million. So they're doing it strictly for money. Otherwise, they could care less what happened to the Jewish students and supporting Hamas. Really is sad. That's a sad commentary on this. Money, folks, money. So that's ongoing now, and the Trump, his administration is closely watching the college campuses and the college universities to see what they're doing. And there's no time. They're acting immediately on this, which is good. So the good part is the federal government now is alerted. They have units specifically for this. They're immediately, the funds are going to be frozen from these universities. So this isn't like, well, something happens today and a year later, you know, some results of it, you know, we're taking action. It's like immediate now. And they're immediately expelled. So this is really, really exciting. Also, now switching back to, this is something to keep our eye on. For some reason, Egypt is transferring huge amounts of its military from Egypt into the Sinai Peninsula there, which Egypt has control of. It's got Israel's attention. There's a treaty between Israel, Egypt, and the United States is like the broker of this. So Israel has brought this to the United States' attention, and the United States is supposed to contact Egypt about this to find out what's going on. But there is no explanation for it other than Egypt is getting ready to engage Israel, because that's what their tanks and their military is in the Sinai. It has nothing to do with Hamas. They don't need their army to deal with Hamas in Gaza. They don't need their army there. The only reason to have the army there, the military, and to this extent, is Israel. So Israel is aware of this. So this is because I believe, according to the scriptures, that Egypt is going to get into an all-out battle with Israel and not survive it, folks. Israel is not going to survive this. Egypt is not going to survive it. Did Brother Greg come back? I don't see Brother Greg. All right. So I have a whole bunch of articles here. So if you go to you can get to the blog easy. It's mct911.com. mct911.com. And that'll take you in there. When you get in there, you got to look, because I have a blog about Israel, the Jews, and the Muslims. I have another one about wars and rumors of wars that focuses on Ukraine, Europe, and Russia. And then another one also under that is China, Taiwan, United States. So I keep you abreast of what's happening there. And I have another one, Critical Information. That one's loaded with information, because it's incredible what's pouring out amongst this now. And then another one about health. And I just posted something today, very interesting. It's called DMSO. It's a chemical. It's a natural chemical, by the way, folks. And it's incredible. The information has been really suppressed by the health organizations, but it's been known for years, and it's incredible for pain relief, natural pain relief. But they found out it's more than that. It has a direct hindrance towards cancer, and it's tremendous for anyone that pain from cancer. If you take chemo or radiation, the DMSO goes right to it and heals the damaged natural skin and muscles and all that could have been affected by the chemo and the radiation treatment. So it's somewhat of a little bit of a wonder drug. It's been known for years and it's been suppressed. So I highly recommend you go over to the blog section, which is called Cutting Edge Health Information. And it's the lead article. I posted it today. In fact, I take it, folks. I had hurt my back when that hurricane hit here, and I was really in tremendous discomfort. And I bought a lotion. In fact, I have it right here in front of me, right here, folks. It's called Frankincense GMSO Gel. I'm going to put it up here so you can see it. It's a little pricey. It was close to $50. You don't use much. And you don't use much. It has an odd smell, but it's not bad. It's not bad. And I started to rub that on my lower back. I had to sleep in a chair, and I couldn't walk. I could walk, but my back would get very weak, and I'd walk a little bit and I'd have to sit down. So I took this and I massaged the lower back, and then I took the DMSO orally. You don't take much, just like four little drops of it. It did wonders. It did wonders. In fact, I never thought of it till now. I highly recommend this. It's called, here it is, Herbal. Well, it's called Frankincense DMSO Gel. And the drops aren't expensive at all. I put it in tea in the morning. I put four drops in. It just made me feel good, folks. And that pain, it really subsided, and it's gone now. The more it subsided, the more I could move. So I'm sorry I didn't tell you about this before, but I highly, highly, highly recommend it. With shipping and all that, it's probably about $50, but it lasts a long time. You just need a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit. If you wanted more information about it, email me, and I can send you like links to it. So email me, but if you're in pain. This is really the real deal, folks. I've used it myself. So, and then the other blog I have is about the 666 surveillance system. And I put all the way the whole system is coming together, the government in complete control. I'm not posting that much on it because it's all like in place. It's all literally, it's all in place. And years ago, I was posting all the time about things related to it. But now I noticed it. It's way down what I'm posting because there's nothing really to post about it. I was following the World Economic Forum and posting stuff they were saying in there and things like that. But as far as the whole system is really in place, they need to get rid of cash and go into digital currency. And then they got it, folks. And that's right on the edge of happening. Europe is leading the pack in digital cash, digital money, no currency. And once they get it digital like that, it's all over. They can just, that evil government in Europe, and they could have done it here with Trump now that's a block on it. But everywhere else, they're charging into India. It's almost there, folks, in India. Also, Israel. Israel's almost there. African countries, they're the whole world is getting into cashless society. So I will keep you posted on that. I haven't posted much lately on it, but it definitely there's that move towards it. But yeah, I don't post that much on the 666 surveillance system anymore. In fact, the last time I'm looking at it, the last time I posted was March 13th, because it'll pick up at some point. It'll pick up, and a lot of it will be a digital currency. I'll keep you posted on that. All right, so let's go back, and I want to pick out the remaining time. I want to pick out headlines here. Wars and Rumors. Putin's largest military call-up since 2011 as Europeans rattle sabers. So as the Europeans are talking about, the Germans are talking about a whole brigade, 5,000 men. They'll be able to do it in 2027. What a joke. So Putin's using that as an excuse. And he says, all right, we're calling up now another 160,000 soldiers. So the Russians are doing that right now. Top Russian negotiator visits D.C., goes on a media blitz, touts progress in peace negotiation. Now, here's what he said. This is what the Russians say. The Trump administration prevented World War III. Now, I believe that to this point, we were on the edge of Russia starting World War III, or Russia invading the Ukraine. We're on the edge of that. But when Trump did what he did, it relieved that pressure off Russia. So that's what the Russians are saying. Trump administration prevented World War III. Now, people may debate whether, well, the Russians will absorb Ukraine and all. That's maybe we'll see what happens. But at least for right now, he's defused it. And the Europeans wanted him in the worst way, all out there. The Europeans, they want to see their army, which doesn't really exist much, of course, led by the United States, into the Ukraine and right up to the border against the Russians. That's what they wanted to see. And the Russians were saying, we're not going to have any of that. And if your army invades, it's World War III, Ukraine. And they were clearly saying, we'll nuke you. So for right now, that has been diffused. China has been simulating an attack on Taiwan regularly now. Crisis in Sweden as nuclear bunkers are ready for World War III. In Sweden, they government told the people, get ready. Literally, get ready. German launches first permanent foreign deployment since World War II. And that's why I said, I have that article there where, let me read this to you. The country's parliament said troops will be sent to Lithuania, I said Estonia, which is on NATO's eastern flank. The unit will be fully operational by 2027. A brigade. They can't send a brigade now. They take 2 years to get the troops together and whatever else they need, 5,000 of them. Yeah, and they want to take the Russians on, but guess who will be doing the fighting? America. They want, let's NATO. We'll get in there and we're going to defend the Ukraine against Russia. We want the NATO army to pour out of Poland into the Ukraine. The NATO army is the United States of America. So I'm astonished. Well, I thought that the Germans could do that, at least a brigade, 5,000 soldiers. They can't do it. But yet they're tough guys because they thought with Biden there, he'd cooperate fully now to get the, if Harris was elected, yeah, we would be deep into probably right on the edge of World War III with her elected. Hegseth, the defense director, says all the wokeness is out of the military. So the standards are the same for men and women. So if the women want to be in combat positions, there's no two type of standards. There's only one. So the combat positions are open for women, but they have to meet the same standards as for men. So there's a battle going on with the federal judges. Trump's administration says that transgenders are not fit for combat, which they're not. So some judge says they are, and they have to be taken into the military. So that is a battle that's going on now. I mean, you can't... What are they going to have? Transgender men in the woman's barrack? Come on. And then you're going to have real men trying to have these transgenders with them in combat? No, that it'll destabilize morale with it. No, you can't have them. And plus, you can't have them where they need to take steroids and hormones and all that stuff. No. So that's going to be a battle. And I think in the end, the president can tell Supreme Court and whoever else that he has direct control of the military and that they have determined that transgenders are not suitable for combat. Everybody in the military has to be suitable for combat. And we're not taking, no matter what the Supreme Court says, they will not be brought into the military. It may come down to that yet, folks. All right, let me get over because we have a ton of stuff. This is under critically important information. The DNC chair, the Democratic National Committee, announces Democrats are launching a shadow government called the People's Cabinet to sabotage Trump's agenda. They're not even hiding it. So the people elect, this is typical with this mentality, that the people of the United States elect the government in a massive way on the Democrats, so they can't win. So what are they going to do? They're going to sabotage the American government. That's what these people, they're dangerous, folks. They are really dangerous. Now, listen to this one. Massive international pedophile streaming network discovered. 2 million users shared child porn across 35 countries. 2 million child pedophiles. I think this comes out of Germany. I think it was centered in Germany. It doesn't say here in the article, but there were 91,000 child porn videos on this. There were three new videos being uploaded to its servers every hour. There were a number of arrests made in this, but I'm almost sure it was centered in Germany. And they have huge numbers identified of these pedophiles. 2 million users. I'm not exactly shocked, but to actually realize that there's some open website with 91,000 porn videos on it and 2 million people watching it. Here's another one. Pure evil. Colorado House Democrats pass bill that allows the state to seize children from their parents if they misgender and makes misgendering a discriminatory act. So, here's what it says. It would require courts to consider as a form of coercive control actions, like dead naming, using a transgender person's previous name before transitioning in order to reject their identity. The misgendering of a child, custody decisions. So, if some kid comes home and he's a boy and he says, his name is John and I want to be called Joan now. And the parents say, no, your name is John and we're going to call you John. Now they could take the kid away from you or other actions. I'll tell you what, if this passes, and the same thing I think is going on in Washington now and these other, they're getting worse and worse. It's time to like kind of divide up the country. And people are going to have to come out of Colorado, whether you've got like kids or not, or young kids or whatever not. The fact that that is the law of the land and their mentality and they're promoting it, it'll only be a time, folks, if you're a Christian, they're coming for you. I mean, handwriting's on the wall in these counties. And the federal government through Trump, I guess, can protect somewhat. But you don't want to live in Colorado, folks. And in Washington, in Oregon, and I don't know how far it's gone in California with this. And that's a sign of the country dividing up. It's like hardcore pro-slavery states and then the abolitionist states. They were irreconcilable. The issue was so deep with them that they were irreconcilable. Folks, there was a senator, I'm going to have to get this locked into my mind, the names. There was a senator from South Carolina, and it was on the floor of the Senate, like in 1860, and around there. And there was a senator from Massachusetts speaking as an abolitionist. And the senator from South Carolina was so enraged, he apparently had a walking stick. And while the senator from Massachusetts was speaking, he went up and whacked him in the head and like fractured his skull, nearly killed him. In fact, the senator was never the same after that, right on the floor of the Senate. You know, and we're kind of getting there now. We're pretty close to it, folks. I think it's much closer than you realize. Okay. Women's golfer refuses to face transgender competitor. So she was removed. And then it says, there's a fencer. Now, you know, when people fence, like from the going back into the old days, you would duel with a fence and all. She refused to engage a transgendered male. And she, well, they were vicious after her, vicious after both of these. She was actually removed from the event and removed from the building. And they're talking about removing her, blocking her from being able to compete anymore as a fencer. And the other one, I think, it's happened already, as a golfer. So yeah, this is this the, they're doubling down, folks. That's why I say we're dividing. 1.3 million illegals are accessing Medicaid. Thousands are voting, and all these names have been turned over to the Justice Department. So Pam Bondi's got a job, folks. She's got millions of illegal aliens that are getting on the dole there for health and Medicaid and Social Security and voting. And also, it's not a matter of hundreds. We're into the perhaps millions here. Oh, and well, I'm out of time. Satanist places plaque in Minnesota Capitol thanking Governor Tim Walz for supporting them. Now, how's that? The governor of Minnesota is being acknowledged by Satanists because he's supporting them. And this has to do about Christmas and putting up devilish, satanic things during Christmas. So, folks, and there's more. I mean, this is loaded with information if you want to follow up on it. Remember, MCT911, dot com, and that can take you into my blog. Now, did Brother Greg come back? Brother Greg is not here. Okay. Well, tomorrow morning we have prayer at starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. You are all welcome. Then tomorrow night we have Pastor Fred. Pastor Fred's been a regular on Monday nights. He's an excellent, excellent teacher of the word. Pastor Fred Peetman. I highly recommend that you come and hear his teaching. Excellent teaching. And then when he finishes, we go in to watch him and pray prayer time. It's a double header on Monday nights. We have Pastor Fred. Pastor Fred teaches between a half hour and 45 minutes. And then we have usually like an hour and 15 minutes. So it's a total of 2 hours. You're all welcome to it. It's these are times that we must keep close in prayer, because God is, it's like unfolding right in front of us. We have World War III forming. We have war in the Middle East with Israel and Iran. We have the world economy. We have Europe and the United States breaking up from that unity from World War II. The way we are now, with Trump leading us, folks, we can no longer really keep with, we could with Biden. We no longer can really keep that with Europe. They are going so hard, so woke, so under the control of the Muslims. I told you, the largest cities in Europe and, in London, in England, they're all under the control of the Muslims. Same with a lot in Europe. Same with Germany and all. I mean, just the way Europe is going, we can't continue with them like we did in the past. That unity is gone. So God bless everybody. Thank you for coming. Like I say, please follow the blog because there's much more information on it than I was able to share tonight. And Dave and myself are closely watching this tariff, the economy, the stock market, and we'll keep you on the cutting edge of these events next Sunday. And I do feel like a combination of what we were able to get out tonight to you, plus what's on my blog, this is really important stuff. Really important that you, a lot of it you will only find because I dig things up and I have good sites that trusted information and I post it. So again, you will not be surprised. You'll be on the cutting edge. So God bless you. And I want to encourage everyone looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Connected with that verse is 1 John 3:3. And everyone that has this hope in them, that's Christ, that Christ coming from us, purifies himself even as he is pure. Well, God bless you. Thank you for coming. And even so, come, Lord Jesus.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high when redeemed again redeemed. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed again redeemed. Now when the redeemed again redeemed, wash like snow and free from sin. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long when the redeemed again redeemed. Then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song when the redeemed again redeemed.